Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to TMGS. The time is now 6:04 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:04 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is April the 8th, 2023, and you're tuned into the Michael Gay Show on the Michael Gay Network. Happy Saturday to each and every one of you. Thank you for tuning in. If you are, we have a few topics we're going to get to. Now, I'm wondering if I'm having a little problem with my board, okay? Because someone told me last week they couldn't chime in. So I'm like, wait a minute. What happened here? So what I'm going to do, I'm going to do a little board check here and see what's happening. Because that shouldn't be happening, right? So topics that we have, though. Early this week, as many of you know, Donald Trump was indicted. He went to the court of law in New York. They shut down half of New York, well, I'm not going to say half, but let's say a good portion of it, in order for the motorcade to come through, get to the courthouse where the charges were read, and so on and so forth. Donald Trump was fingerprinted, but there wasn't a mugshot. That's how every alleged criminal gets a mugshot, but we'll talk about that later. Clarence Thomas allegedly received money to got some elaborate trips. We're going to talk about that. And also, let's see, Clarence Thomas, wow. He receiving money for taking trips? If you're a Supreme Court justice, don't you have enough money to take trips? Oh, wait a minute. Is that like a bribe? hey, if you do this or vote, or I won't say vote, but be in favor of this, we'll pay for your vacation to Dubai or whatever. I mean, I'm just saying hypothetically now. This could have been the case, but if you're a Supreme Court justice, shouldn't you be able to afford to take your own trips? I mean, you got the job that no one can fire you from. You know, so we're going to get into that topic. And then in Tennessee lawmakers, they were expelled. All right. Even though the constituents voted them into office. Well, the rest of the individuals said, no, we're going to expel you. We can do that. Based on what? We'll get into that conversation. But without further ado, let me go ahead. I see that the co-host in my right hand, left hand, everything that we do here on TMGS is here in the house. And, of course, you got to have the one and only Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis on the line. Hey, Janet, happy Saturday. No, you got to do that. You know, that horn section, you know. Yeah, you know that first part. Yeah, you got to have those tubas going. You know, that's where it's like, boom, you know. Happy Saturday to you, my sister. And we got a lot of stuff to talk about here. Oh, I forgot to mention one. The issue of where states do take people's money.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of you folks are probably wondering what we're talking about, but we'll get to that story. But I come to find out that happens more than often when you have a large amount of cash on your personal now, okay, and go through certain counties and states. Yeah, well, even driving down the road, you could have been at the casino, and this is what they do, all right? But without further ado, I'm going to open up another microphone. This brother here on the West Coast is celebrating. I'm sure he's going to celebrate this whole month, okay? I'm letting him explain it to you guys before we go any further. But please welcome to the show Mr. Timon. Mike, there you go, Mike. Not Mike. You don't open up a can of Mike. Mike, shit.
Timon. Congratulations.
Well, thank you so much. I'm glad you hear anything in the background. I just came from my walk, so I'm fixing something to eat. So, yeah, but yeah, I just got
finished cooking. I made a fantastic pasta salad, and I grilled some pork on a grill, the smokeless grill.
All right.
Because it's raining outside.
Well, see, I didn't want to hear that. I didn't want to hear all that. Y'all having such a good time. You know, Timon didn't call in last Saturday. I know because he's like celebrating the whole weekend and everything. Then Janet gonna come on here and say how she made a fantastic meal, but she does live a distance from me, you know. So I can't, you know. I'm sorry. Do you take Uber Eats?
Michael, I have brought you meals now.
Are you hooked up with Uber Eats and I can go online and order from Janet and get them to come to your house, pick it up, and drop it off at my house? Okay, I guess not.
But, yeah. Michael, I have delivered meals to you.
Oh, okay.
And you don't remember?
Yeah, I do.
Okay,
I do.
All right. Because the last time I think I delivered a meal, I did the macaroni and cheese that had 12 cheeses in it, not the 14.
Yeah, you did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wow. Timon, that was that was pre-pandemic, okay? So it's been a minute, but it's cool. It's cool. I'll wait until the holidays. This was pre-pandemic, okay? Pandemic was, 2.5, almost 3 years ago. Okay, so it's cool. It's cool.
I moved. I'm not over on that side anymore. You know, I'm back in Woodstock. So.
Right, right. That is true. It is
so
a good
moved
distance
also.
Between
mm-hmm.
Right,
oh,
and I'm further out, right?
Oh,
yeah, I moved further, yeah. I'm not in Marietta. I'm in Mableton now. Yeah. I've been in Mableton for a year now, yeah. So it is further away. So let's
about
get to our
minutes.
Topics here. Yeah, about 45
mm-hmm.
minutes, yeah, that's true. So let's get to our topics. Wait a minute. There was something else I wanted to say beforehand. Just real quick. You know what? It's so crazy that just a few days ago here in Georgia, and I was on a show, someone was talking about climate change and all this and the other. It was like 70-something degrees a few days ago, right?
Yes, it was.
We're supposed to be in spring. And today, or better yet, starting last night, it dropped to 51 degrees. Now, come on now. We're supposed to be in spring. Summer's supposed to be around the corner. But obviously, Mother Nature is playing a trick because she said, okay, spring, yes, we're going to spring back to winter. It's cold as hell outside. It really is cold. And raining since last night, nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
I think right now, as I glance out the window, it's still a little bit of drizzle. So when you talk about climate change and stuff like that, there's got to be some proof to it because almost every day you hear the meteorologist says, record highs, record lows.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had this type of temperature since 1840. 18 what? Is that how far back you all been recording stuff? You know?
Mm.
But that's something I think we need to really discuss sometimes about because there's another show that discusses it. There's other individuals who feel like that the weather is being manipulated through chemtrails.
Well, look at California,
and that's where some of the individuals that I was talking to on another show, they live out there. I think it's an interesting topic because it's not just California. You know, if you look at it even here in the South, but California more so because, you know, just like there's plenty of songs, it never rains in California. Well, it never was supposed to snow in California other than in the mountains, right? Higher elevation, more possibility, right? But when you got snow coming down to the city area, especially for Californians who've never driven in snow, most of them, yeah, that's an issue. that's something. So it is kind of interesting. I'd like for us to get into that topic. Tyman, you live in California. Have you seen the weather act like that in the years that you've been there?
I mean, it's been changing up so much. You know, I'm like, they asked, you know, they said we didn't have no rain, right? Then now all of a sudden we didn't got overkill. I don't want to see, people said, man, I don't want to see no more rain. I'm good with rain. And we got all that snowfall. And so now everybody just wants their sunshine. They don't want to see no rain.
So would you say that that has something to do with climate change? I mean, what do you think?
Oh, well, sure.
I mean,
I
don't want to go back into this show that they were talking about, but I think we need to, you know, kind of like touch on that. Do you think that there is something to do with the weather being changed?
It's like, you know who Neil deGrasse Tyson is?
No, I don't.
You don't? How about you, Janet?
Janet.
Okay,
she
might.
Yes.
She was on mute.
I was on mute. What did you say?
Janet, do you know who Neil deGrasse Tyson is?
That name sounds familiar.
He's a black astrophysicist.
Yes, I know.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when this brother speaks, people should listen because he's an astrophysicist and the dude knows his stuff. And they asked him. He said, yeah, the atmosphere is changing. And, yes,
we should be trying to that climate change is real. Okay, but we have so much disinformation, Mike, in
mm-hmm.
with that damn internet and all, and what Trump was able to do. Okay, we didn't have all this disinformation shit until Trump's
right.
ass showed up and he started messing
Amen.
With the vaccine and messing with all this stuff. So, and telling you that climate change and you can get cancer from windmills and all this craziness. Then we, you know, and so to answer your question, yes, I believe in climate change. All right. Yes,
mm-hmm.
the world is changing, mm-hmm. the atmosphere. Hey, man, they haven't. In Iceland, they got, did you see 60 Minutes, a week ago when they was talking about the volcanoes?
Yeah.
That ain't real either? Come on, man. these people, they didn't mess with
yeah.
information so much. You really got to step outside, man, and do your own thinking. Because a lot
That's
of cats,
right.
man, they spread so much disinformation, and nobody believes nothing. And then they getting sick. You know,
right,
great.
Like you
so
said,
believe,
look
outside. Yeah, the question. Yes, I believe in climate change.
I believe in it, too.
Okay.
And tell one of them Republicans, they call you up. Republican calls this show, jumping his ass, because they're the ones that's spreading all this crazy. I'm not saying Democrats are perfect, but, hey, you got the Marjorie Taylor Greens and all these Jim Jordans and all these people. Uh-uh. No. Watch out.
Okay, so let's get to, and I'm glad that you said it. We'll come back to that. We have enough time because it is interesting. Because see, when I was growing up, they had TV shows, kids shows about science. Showed you the simplest things you could do as experiments. You know, you would do the science class. You had science class. Remember that? You had the science class.
Yeah,
you had certain things.
Yeah, electric
you know,
company and everything.
Right. You know, I mean, all that type of stuff, but. Now it seems like people want to go against all that and say, oh, that's not true, that's not real, there's another theory to it or whatever, you know. So, but let's get into that after we go into this. As we well know, this past Tuesday, Donald Trump did appear before a judge due to the indictments where he received, 34 criminal charges.
Amen.
Real quick, it says, he pleaded not guilty of falsifying business records in a historic and unprecedented court appearance in Manhattan on Tuesday. Prosecutors alleged Trump sought to undermine the integrity of the 2016 election through a hush money scheme with payments made to women. Remember, we're not just talking about the porn star. They put this in plural. To women who claim they had extramarital affairs with Trump, all right? Trump, who has denied all wrongdoing and affairs, is the first current or former president in U.S. history to face criminal charges. In his first post-arraignment remarks, he rallied against the Manhattan DA and charges during remarks in Florida. Okay, so that being said, let me ask you guys, did you watch the indictment?
Yes, every last bit of it.
Okay. Tommy, you watched it too?
What's that?
Did you watch the indictment? Or did you wait?
Oh, yeah.
Did you watch the indictment or did you wait for the highlights? Okay. All right, so it took about 3 hours.
Yeah, I watched it on CNN and then ABC News.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, this took about 3 hours.
On MSNBC.
Right. Well, I mean, with all the crap that they put in,
The motorcade.
You know,
getting from the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Marjorie Taylor Greene showing up and they chased her away. You know, DeSantis being there. You know, it wasn't a crowd like they tried to say it was going to be, you know, but the mayor of New York the day prior, he told everybody they weren't going to be playing. You know, they weren't going to take any mess off of anybody.
Okay, so I'm glad that you gave me those answers. Okay, so that was roughly about three and a half hours of coverage on every network, right? Hundreds of thousands and thousands of dollars were spent for the former president to come to New York to be read his charges, okay? He was fingerprinted electronically, as they claim. It wasn't, you know, the ink on the fingers and here you go, wipe off your fingers. It's electronic fingerprinting. But from my understanding, he did not have a mugshot. Does anybody have a reason?
No, he didn't get
the mugshot. I just want to ask a question first. But from what I understood, he did not receive a mugshot. Does anybody have a theory or thought of why they did not do a mugshot?
There's no need to, Mike. And also, they didn't want him to have – they did not want someone to sell that, because if he gets a mugshot, then he can make posters out of it and put it on – T-shirts to get these people to spend more money to give him more money.
And I like that you said that. So there was a concern that somebody within the or someone would put that out into the media. I know a lot of things are open to the public. I do know that, but they still wouldn't do that because of that fear. Right? Is what you're saying? That someone would take that photo and use it. Am I right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just asking, just to hear your responses. But see, if it was you or me, you would have got a mugshot. But now, let's keep in mind that these alleged crimes, which I still say alleged, okay, because it has to go through the process. Unfortunately, a lot of people get confused with indictment and conviction, but these are crimes he allegedly did before he was the president of the United States. So he was still just a regular everyday citizen running for president, right? He had security, right, because he's high profile trying to be the president. But he was still an everyday citizen, in a sense. Or would you say no?
Well, they called him Mr. Trump. You know, people have been going around saying president, not, you know, like past president or whatever they want to call it. He was being called like he was really still president of the United States by a lot of people. But he was arrested. Maybe that was electronically too, but they said he was officially arrested. And they called him Mr. Trump. And when they wanted him to come back in December and his lawyers was trying to say it was going to be too much of a trouble, they weren't going for it. He's got to appear.
Okay. Another question. Why do you think they pushed the next appearance to be almost at the end of the year? December 8th is the date. We're going to go through the whole summer and damn near throughout the whole holiday season before they come back in court, which will be 2 months before the primary. So he still is running for president, right? It's 2 months before they're going to be back in court 2 months before the primary. Do you feel like that was a dumb move on the or not a good move on the judge's part? Or what do you think the reasons why they pushed it so far ahead?
They said because they have a lot on their plate, and so, but they said, and their process does not rush through things. That's what they were. That's what they said. So that's the normal process.
Okay.
Right.
They didn't make something special just because he was ex-president or former president.
Right.
I saw the look on, can I say something? The look on Donald Trump's face, I felt sorry for him. Even though I followed this from the beginning, the very beginning, when he rode down on the escalator and how he hid all that information and how it came out that he had paid checks while he was in the White House. You know, so if you want to clean up, you want to pretend you didn't do something, you got to really cover your tracks, because he didn't cover his tracks.
Okay, so Tommy, what's your response?
Well, I think that, you know, Janet is right. The man, I don't feel for him because of what he's done over the years, how he's abused our system, how he has abused people, taken advantage of them. He's gotten away. He has used his privilege to get all the things that he wanted. And it's a shame that these people cannot see what this man is, that he is a con artist.
Mm-hmm.
He's been conning people for years, and they just can't see it. And it's not our fault. If you want to know why certain things are the way they are, or why people get taken advantage of, you know, there it is, right in your face. There's nothing you can do about it. But he got it. Mike, what I'm saying is, if that had been me or you, I ass would have been up under the jail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Homeboy's getting away. Why is it taking so long? Okay, they can talk about it because he can still run for office even if he's behind bars. You don't have any laws to stop you from running for office even though you might be locked up. So you can go in there, he can go in there and do all that he wants, you know. But the thing is, we got to get him. Look, really what we want is to make sure this fool never runs for office again. That's what you need to do. Now, he's 76 years old,
okay.
And we got to run him out.
So here's the thing I want us to, because I didn't really get into detail more about it last week. I think I brought it up, but you know, we had so much going on. But you know, there's I'm glad that you're on, Tommy, because people tend to get confused of the difference between indicted and convicted, right? Now, when it comes to like your what is the term, Janet? The PIPP jury system. But anyway, what I'm saying is that, let's say, for instance, when they pick a jury, right? Let's say for a murder or whatever, the prosecution and the defense vet the jurors, and they pick and choose out of a certain amount of, or a pool of individuals they feel like are, you know, impartial, whatever the case may be. All right. But a grand jury is a totally different setup. It's like, what, 32 people involved?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you got 32 people involved. And then here's people saying, oh, the grand jury, they should have never indicted Trump. The grand jury is not made up of just all Democrats. The grand jury is not made up of all Republicans. They're not made up of all white or black or Hispanic or Asian. The grand jury are who? Us. We the people, right? So what I find is ignorant is that people are mad first of all at Briggs, the district attorney of New York. This is not a federal case. This is it's in the district of New York. But the thing I'm saying is that where the prosecution brought evidence that they wanted the grand jury to decide whether to indict him or not. And and that's the thing that gets me, is that people feel like, oh, Braggs is wrong for indicting him. Braggs didn't indict him. He just brought the evidence to the grand jury to make that decision to indict him or not. Now, let me say this before I ask you guys to intervene. Just today I saw a program where they showed certain cases of cops that were not indicted. We all remember Eric Garner, right?
Yeah.
Who was the first person who had yelled and screamed for his life saying he could not breathe. And the officer, which the video clearly shows, had his hand and his on his neck and head, which after the autopsy said his breathing was restricted in that area.
Right.
There was an indictment. There was an indictment put forward to charge his officer. And that grand jury said, nope. Now, look at the difference here. Here's a dead man. An indictment was put towards this officer, and the grand jury said, no, not enough evidence. Though there's a video of this. But here's documentation individuals who were part of the whole thing, meaning Michael Cohen, who came forward and did jail time for this. There's no death involved in this.
But it wasn't just Michael Cohen.
But this, well, I'm saying this. This grand jury said, well, yeah, we'll go ahead and indict former President Donald Trump. Keep in mind, this violation happened before he became president. But people are jumping up and down over a man, as Timon just said, who has been in court before. The Trump Foundation, the so-called school and everything, had to pay back how many millions of dollars? Him and his dad were sued. He's filed bankruptcy 7 times. Why are you getting mad at the grand jury?
Can I say something?
For believing that there's enough evidence. That's what I'm trying to understand. Sure, go ahead.
Okay. David Pecker from the Inquirer, I think that was his name, he testified. It wasn't just Cohen testifying. They also remember Weisenberg, the CFO. His plea bargain was he had to cooperate. They got information that they knew about the rape. They knew about the affair. They knew about him charging, paying, not doing the taxes properly. You know, but they had people that had to come and testify. It wasn't just Cohen. And that's why they knew they had enough evidence to press and turn it from a misdemeanor to a felony because of all the substantial evidence.
Okay. But as you know, what I'm saying is that we're based on what they're saying that, well, by Cohen being, of course, the fixer, and he was convicted, you know, they're trying to say, hey, look, Trump had nothing to do with this. Michael Cohen is the one who decided to do this on his own. That's what they're trying to say, all right?
Yeah,
and then so then they were saying,
well,
hold on just a second, Janet. But here's what I'm understanding. What the Republicans are saying, okay, is that Donald Trump didn't know what Cohen was doing. He had no control of that. This is what they're trying to say. So that, you know, and then they're going to say, well, he's not a credible witness. And see, to me, that's BS because it's like, come on now. This was his right-hand man. This was his lawyer. He took the fall. You understand my point? That's what I'm trying to understand is that we're, come on, you guys. This don't make any sense. And again, right. So Cohen is not the only one. There's other witness and documentation of what has been going on. Now, we do not know all the counts. We just know there's 30-plus counts. And still, again, the judge can turn around and say, man, I don't want to go further with this. He can do that. But, of course, he's not going to. Let's switch gears here. Look at some of the things that the Trump family is doing. Like Donald Trump Jr. just posted a photo of last week of the judge's daughter. Do you feel that he should be that something should be put towards him, or do you think that the judge should go ahead and put a gag order on this, seeing that
that wasn't Trump, that was the son. It wasn't Trump who did that. Trump, now afterwards, Trump went to Mar-a-Lago, had a raising speech where he totally forgot about what the judge said. You know, put aside Don Jr. posted a picture. Trump still thinks he shouldn't have been saying. So if they want to put a gag, they can.
Well, yeah, I know that they can put one. The judge has not ruled doing one as of yet. He's given warnings of certain things that he doesn't want them to do. But if they keep
because
doing what we know how Donald Trump, we know how Donald Trump is, and he can't help himself. Simon, what's your thoughts about that whole thing too? About Don Jr., you know, putting out something like this.
I would hold him in contempt. I will let him know. I catch you. You say one more thing. And two, you know, especially because you put something about my family, if he wanted to, he could have the cops come over to his house and have a talk to him. That's all you got to do with that.
Yeah, as a judge.
So God Jr., but not Trump Sr.
Hold on.
No,
just a second,
but
guys.
Dennis,
I'm going to have to refresh.
Dennis,
hold on, you guys.
Trump.
I got to refresh my phone line. So if you don't hear me for a second, it's because I have to refresh my phone line. Just give me a minute. But go ahead. Okay? Go ahead. You're still on. I'm just going to refresh my phone line.
What I was saying was, but you can get Trump putting that picture up about Alvin Bragg when he had the baseball bat. I would check him for that.
Hey, for all the things he said after he went back to Mar-a-Lago, after the judge told him that he had to be cautious because of the seriousness of it, he didn't care. He still was calling the judge name, talking, you know, it's just like he totally forgot what the judge said. But I don't think he had any, we should not hold his son, gag him because of something his son did. Like you said, they need to go and charge the son.
Mhm.
Not the father.
Right.
Okay,
it
I'm
was,
back.
Okay.
No, go ahead. I just had to refresh my phone line.
No, I was finished. I was just saying, you know, it's a sad situation. For anybody who's been following this, they know all the things that this person, our former president, has done. Just like when he took all those classified documents. The first thing he said a few days ago on Fox News was, well, they paid Nixon $18 million. They paid the foundation. And it wasn't that he stole tapes. They turned the tapes over. The family didn't want those tapes out. And that's why they got compensated for the money that was going to the library and not to the family. Trump thought because that came out, that article, that he can probably get money for holding those tapes, those documents, rather, which were classified, which is a felony because of the type of documents it was. They
okay,
got
so
him
let me,
going through the documents, cherry picking.
Okay, so let me go ahead and read a little bit of this article regarding what Donald Trump Jr. did, okay? And it says, Donald Trump Jr. shared on social media a picture of the daughter of Judge Juan Merchan, as he claimed that his father was being subjected to a, quote, hand-picked Democrat show trial. See, that goes back to what I said, is that when you talk about the grand jury, it's made up of a lot of people. All right. So the former president's eldest child posted the picture, which was attached to a Breitbart story that claims that the daughter of Judge Merchan worked on the Biden-Harris presidential campaign on Twitter and Truth Social on Tuesday. But what does she have to do with this is the thing. Okay, quote, seems relevant, yet another connection in this hand-picked Democrat show trial. The BS never ends, folks. Don Jr. had posted that. But why would you bring her in? She's not a juror. She's not a prosecutor. She's just the daughter of the judge that's overseeing this trial.
In the same way they brought Hunter Biden.
Okay. Well, I'm not trying to cross it up, but, you know, It's just amazing to me how individuals keep bringing other people involved into the situation that have nothing to do with the situation. You follow me? Why would you do that? There was a person who posted something when they used to, or they still do, called Donald Trump, you know, like a mob boss, right? The Don.
Mm-hmm.
But even the gangsters, y'all know this from watching many of the Godfather movies, You never attacked the civilians, correct? Michael Corleone was never attacked until he decided to kill a cop who was on the side of the crime bosses, right, in the movie. He was, he was a war hero or whatever. Wasn't involved in the family business. And I do believe that from the stories I know, mobsters did not attack the family members who were not involved in the family crime, I should say, organization. So obviously Donald Trump's son feels like, well, I'll drag anybody underneath the bus. She has nothing to do with it.
That cokehead don't care nothing about nothing, Mike. He's a cokehead. You don't see when John Jr.'s on TV, look at his eyes. That boy blazed out his mind. Hey, man, you can't listen to nothing that fool say.
And Trump even made inflammatory remarks right after he came back from New York. And so, you know, the judge might go on and put the gag on him because he told them not to, and he did anyway. And everybody knows he incites his base, and they go out. He speaks the code, and they go out and perform the acts.
Well, I truly believe that there should be a gag order. But see, now here's the thing, though. But then again, I think there should be one, but then again, on the prosecution side, maybe not, because the prosecution might be like, no, don't put a gag order, because they feel like Donald Trump is going to slip up and say something. It's going to be even more incriminating as this trial. Now, think about it. As this trial goes on, and maybe, and possibly the next indictment. Now, Timon, if you were a betting man, wouldn't you think that Donald Trump would probably incriminate himself more if they didn't put a gag order?
Well, I mean, not for this case. I mean, because they already got him on other stuff. He can go. He can sing. Like, he can say whatever he wants. Jack Smith got so much stuff on him now. It really wouldn't matter. This one, they knew it was many. It wasn't going to be anything. This is just the start of many to take this to show this man and what we're about to do to you. He ain't never been to jail. Donald Trump and his daddy been riding for years, you know. And they say, oh, and everybody believes that they're not going to get him, that he's not going to go to jail. But see, the thing is, there's two things that you can do to him. You can destroy him financially, or you can make sure he never runs for office again. One thing they want to do, Tish James is going to make sure they hit him in his pocket, okay? And then your girl Fani going to get him, and then Jack Smith going to finish him off. And this will be the end of Trump and the boys. They're going to put them fools down. They're going down. I don't care what people say. They can be pessimistic all they want. They can talk about whatever. Main deal, when them cats get through singing, because remember, Mike, they are tearing up the Republican Party. Trump is not, one, he's not a Republican, and two, he's not a Ronald Reagan Republican, who's also the asshole who destroyed a lot of the programs that we had.
That's
and
right.
When they had the shareholder revolution, he's the one that got it, so he's not even a regular. Trump is what happened when the Tea Party got in power. That's what Trump is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Trump was a Democrat at one point.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's changed parties a few times. I think he even supported the Tea Party at one point. I guess he went wherever he fit in.
Well, what happened was, but what they did, Mike, that stuff was already sitting at the surface when after Obama was in office. They felt that Obama screwed them, and they wanted it. Mm-hmm. That's why. You know, because they would never, this was never, when people say, oh, well, you know, Obama didn't do nothing for black people. It wasn't about that for me. The fact that we had a black president, to put him in there, and he wasn't no fool, he did the best he could. They wanted him to fail, so they did everything they could to make him fail.
But Obama did things. He didn't just work just for the black people. He was the president for everybody. That's what they fail to understand. You know, you cannot be a president like Trump is doing right now, a blue versus red. That's what he did when he was in the White House. You know, blue state versus red state. You, it's just like you pitting people of states against each other. When everybody know the blue states is the one that's getting all the tax money and paying for the poor states.
And you know what, Janet, also, I also believe that there ain't nothing a president can really do for you, okay?
No, no.
My thing is,
right.
I mean, because think about it. We didn't been through the Reagans. We didn't been through the Bushes, okay?
Yeah.
We went through the Clintons, then we didn't went through the Bushes. Okay, and now then we went to Obama, then we got Trump. All right,
okay.
We have survived. Okay, if I had to worry about what a president was going to do for me, okay, I wouldn't be nowhere. My problem is with corporations. My problem is with the way that they put that they don't care about humanity, and they're all about shareholders, and they're all about, you know, exploiting the workers and exploiting you and your rent. They say, oh, the gas went up. It's a private company. They can raise prices whenever they want.
Yeah, whatever they want to. That's right. But see, people fail to realize Biden has done more than just about all the presidents since he's been in office in this little short time. He has done a lot. Obama had his hands tied because they were trying their best to make sure he was a one-term president. They did not want him to be there for 8 years.
He had to do a lot
of executive orders.
Right.
You know
well, we know that to be true. We know that to be go ahead, Tommy.
I was just going to say, Mike, that what McConnell failed to understand, he didn't know how badly Trump was going to screw his ass. And McConnell and what he was going to do to their Republican Party, they ain't about no policy. All they about is chaos and investigations right now.
There's nothing for them. The last time they were in, there was no policies. I mean, they did when they took over the House and the Senate, Obama, that's all they was trying their best. They was having investigations for Hillary Clinton, you know, instead of them making things better for the America. And I want to say one more thing. Trump is supposed to be some billionaire. Why is it they're always begging for money if he's a billionaire? When he got in, before he got in, he said he didn't need the money, but he'd been begging ever since he'd been in there.
But hold on a minute. The thing is that I get it, because see, greed breeds more greed, and that's the whole ideal. You don't want to. I mean, to be honest, if you had $1 million right now, Janet, you wouldn't spend that whole million realizing that at some point you're not going to have any more money. You're going to keep trying to generate more money. And that's the mindset of where, you know, and like I said to you the other day, just yesterday, there's plenty of Republican folks in the Republican Party that are putting money towards his defense, okay? Because they want him there. They want to fight because he is the face of the Republican Party still. Even though he's been indicted, he's still the front runner.
Just let me finish
and you can comment or elaborate. But the thing that that's the whole trick of getting people and playing on people's ignorance, that they're going to keep, you know, getting whatever they can get from folks out here that don't know any better. You know, it's like, yeah, well, let's ask them for $5, $10, whatever. They'll willfully give it. When Donald Trump does have some money then, and I'm sure it's costing him money for his defense, okay? But he's not going to spend all his money to defend himself.
He's not paying for the defense. The Republican Party pays for his defense. And then you got
But did you not hear what I said? Is that where for them to claim they need help is the only thing? It doesn't matter. The thing is, you get money where you can get it from. If you got the Republican Party helping for your defense, that's great and good. But if you can get some knuckleheads to give $5, $10, $20, guess what? That adds up to thousands of dollars and more thousands of dollars and more and more and more. And it's just the fact that it's just the ignorance of the people who are supporting this, giving money to where he's not going to, or the Republican Party is not going to keep giving to Donald Trump on his own, because there's a chance he may not win. A big chance, re-election. But he's not going to depend on them just alone. He's going to use the base. And the base so far,
Michael,
has complied to the request.
The IRS is always saying they're paying for his legal fees. They make the announcement every single time.
But are you understanding my point?
It doesn't matter if they're
paying for his legal. It doesn't matter if they're paying for just his legal fees. Whatever money they can get, they're going to use that money in every way possible.
No, they're not going to use the money in any way possible. All the money been going to Trump.
Understand what I'm saying, Jen. Can you let me finish, please? Understand what I'm saying is this. And I'll let time intimidate it. But what I'm saying, right, the Republican Party is allegedly putting up this money to help his legal fees, but you're saying it all going to Trump. Okay, cool. And so is the money that he's getting his base to donate. All of it is going to him. He will pick and choose what goes to his legal fees, what goes in his pocket. I'd rather have two sources of income than just one, especially when I'm not working for it. He's not out there working to do nothing. Now, had that been you or me, you could go on Facebook and have a GoFundMe, right? You could do that now. And you could do one in one name, and you could actually have another account for a whole different reason, and nobody knows the difference.
And get in trouble because people have been found out.
Okay. Diamond, what's your thoughts on that? What do you think about it? Diamond, what do you think about the whole money situation? Diamond, are you there? Okay, maybe he stepped away for a moment. I want to hear his opinion about the Republicans and also the supporters of Donald Trump and the money that's going there. I just feel like, you know, it just makes sense in this situation, because knowing how Donald Trump has operated over the years, he's going to take whatever money he can get, whether it's from the Republican Party or it's from his base. He's going to take all that money in. And, yeah, he can claim. We really don't know what his net worth is. We really don't, you know. But
they do know, Michael, now, because they found out he didn't sign
that. Janet, I said we don't know. I'm not saying they. I said we.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to stick to what I said. We don't really know.
You don't
know. I don't. Well, so you know what his net worth is?
Do you watch TV? Oh, my phone might be dying.
Do you know? I asked you a question. If you can't answer a question with a question, do you know? Tell us, what is Donald Trump's net worth?
Google
it,
Michael. You'll know. What's going on with my phone?
Okay. I've Googled many folks' net worths, and I've seen where they've gone anywhere from $5 million to $200,000. I've seen a lot of different responses on a lot of these things. But anyway, what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and look at this situation with Justice Clarence Thomas. Did he really, for all these years, accept money and take vacations as they claim he has done. I mean, it's interesting that we're with all this other stuff going on, there's other things still going on that keep popping up and popping up. And keep in mind, you guys, this is a Supreme Court justice. Can a Supreme Court justice be fired? I don't think so. Unless he does something really, you know, it's got to be something really, really serious, right? Like murder or something like that, you know.
Hey, Michael.
Yes.
I Googled Trump's net worth, $2.5 billion U.S. dollars since the 2021, the last time they checked. And this all,
okay, so
they found all this out from him not, wait, they found all this out when they realized IRS wasn't, he said he was being audited. He was never being audited.
Can I speak now? Okay, so $2.5 billion. Why would anyone need, whether it's the Republican Party or his base, need to give this man one dime when he can afford his own $2.5 billion with a B, right? Why would anybody?
Yeah.
I wouldn't even give 50 cents.
It's all about. He came in saying he didn't want any money, and he wasn't even going to take money for being president. But that was all a lie. He worked
Janet,
the system.
Okay. We're going to take a break, but I hope you understand what I'm saying. It makes no sense.
I know what you're saying.
It makes no sense for anybody to give anyone money that is worth $2.5 billion. I don't see it. I don't understand it. There's no way in the world I would give a dime at all. So we're going to take a quick music break. We're going to come back and talk about this. Allegations against Chief Justice Clarence Thomas. that's how come I say that greed is something else. And especially for the people, if this is what this man is worth, why would you give up your pennies, nickels, and dimes? If the economy is so bad, why would you donate Everyday Joe to a person who's worth $2.5 billion. I don't get it. It makes no sense to me. All right, we're going to be back shortly. Let me play this cut real quick, though. Okay. I played this the other week when we were talking about Marvin Gaye and this artist here. I'm going to play this track again. And again, kind of eerie. This guy sounds so much like Marvin. You listen to TMGS. We'll be right back.
Oh, baby, the way you move, you make me.
The extent and frequency of Crow's apparent gifts to Thomas has no known precedent in the modern history of the U.S. Supreme Court. These trips appeared nowhere on Thomas's financial disclosures. His failure to report the flights appears to violate a law passed after Watergate that requires justices, judges, members of Congress, and federal officials to disclose most gifts, two ethics law experts said. He also should have disclosed his trips on the yacht, these experts said. That's interesting. So what do you do after you find this out? Who steps in? The Justice Department? Do they go after Clarence Thomas based on this, seeing that he did not disclose these gifts? And what is the punishment? He surely won't get fired. I truly know that.
I think Congress is revamping, I guess, the rules for the Supreme Court justices because of all the things that's been happening recently, how they feel like a lot of them have been, you know, because of the things that they, like Roe versus Wade and this new medicine for abortions that they're just trying now to take off the market. The things that they've been doing is more for the far right, and they've been paid to reverse a lot of those things. So I'm hoping that they're going to change the way they do things as far as the Supreme Court justices, because they are not above the law.
Let me say this, because it clearly states in what I read, it said his failure to report the flight.
He didn't report.
Let me finish, please. His failure to report the flights appears to violate a law passed after Watergate. Okay, so we're talking back in the Nixon era. That requires justices, judges, members of Congress, and federal officials to disclose most gifts to ethics. Now, this is an ethical situation, law experts said. Allegedly, it's supposed to be an ethical thing. But, I mean, he knew this. And justices, that includes Supreme Court justices. So he knew this was the law. Him being in the position he's in, he should have known. But is he just thumbing his nose at the law and deciding to do whatever he wants to do? And is anyone even looking at this and saying, hey, look, you know what? He needs to be in front of a panel and question about this whole thing. I haven't heard anything about it, but
if you read a little further, Michael, it says that, wait a minute, I got to make it large again. Federal judges sit in a unique position of public trust.
It says Thomas did not respond to a detailed list of questions. In a statement, Crow acknowledged that he'd extended, quote, hospitality to the Thomases over the years, and that's in quotes too, but said that Thomas never asked for any of it, and it was no different from the hospitality we have extended to our many other dear friends. Okay, dear friends, okay, I like how you got
that.
Can I
read the one part that I was going to read?
Go right ahead.
Federal judges sit in a unique position of public trust. They have a lifetime tenure, a privilege intended to insulate them from the pressures and potential corruption of politics. A code of conduct for federal judges below the Supreme Court requires them to avoid even the appearance of an impropriety. Members of the High Court, Chief Justice John Roberts has written, consult that code for guidance. The Supreme Court is left almost entirely to police itself. And because they are left to only police themselves, that's why Congress is looking into making some changes.
Okay, but that's still bullshit. It just is. Okay. That's still bullshit, though. I mean, the law is the law. It's still bullshit. I mean, what I just read, no, the problem is that where they're not enforcing the law because they're too buddy-buddy.
You're not supposed to remember the conversation. They said cancel gifts more than $50.
It's like I said one time on the show, I will never forget I went to traffic court many years ago. And all over that building, all over the building at the front door, it says no smoking. And I go into traffic court, and what happens? The judge tells the court clerk, there should be something in the drawer of my desk in my office. And she disappears, comes back, and hands him a book of matches, and he fires up a cigarette in the freaking courtroom. Now, who's going to come into that courtroom, or what bailiff is going to go up to that judge and say, Your Honor, you're under arrest. For what? You're violating a code of the courthouse. I'm sure that judge would have laughed at his ass and probably said, yeah, and you're in contempt of court.
Who smoked the cigarette, Michael? Was it the guard?
The judge.
Or the police?
The judge, the man with the black robe. I'm just telling you that where what you're telling me, what you just said, and what I just read, Janet, is that where these people feel like they're above the law. This was already stated of what I said, is that where that these individuals are not supposed to accept gifts, right? But he accepted them.
Over $50.
And I was just sharing.
They can get gifts, but it can't be over $50.
Okay, and that's what I'm saying. They said that this would add up over $500,000. If you listen to what I'm saying, is that where who is going to court justice out? It is against the law for them to accept gifts, as you said, over $50. According to what they're looking at, this is over $500,000. So what happens next? This man broke the law. Or I should say,
and even his wife. Joel is even paying his wife, Jenny Thomas. You know? They really need to look at what Clarence Thomas is doing.
Janet, the only thing is, this is what I'm asking, or this is what I'm saying to the listeners, is that where, at what point do we call our elected officials, call them out for breaking the law or doing unethical things? Going back to Donald Trump, he was indicted by the people. Don't get mad at the DA. Get mad at the Supreme Court, grand jury, who you do not know because they are kept in secrecy, that made the decision. Get mad at the Supreme Court justice, like a Clarence Thomas, who is being paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for a job he will never be fired from. He can die in office. And here he's doing something unethical by receiving over an estimated $500,000 trips, which in turn can be looked at a bribe. It could be looked at as a bribe. You're not supposed to accept money from a private citizen like that when you're in a position of power as Supreme Court justice. You clearly just said anything over $50 is not acceptable. They're estimating $500,000, but who is going to pursue this? Nobody. And what I was saying about the judge in traffic court, where it clearly states stickers on every door, no smoking, no recording or whatever in the courtroom, everything. This judge fires up a cigarette right there behind the bench while he's doing cases. He's breaking the freaking law. If I fired up a cigarette in a courtroom, you know how fast they will put me in jail? But here the judge is doing it. But see, this bullshit happens every day all over America.
Did you make a complaint when you saw that, Michael?
Where would it have gone?
I don't know. Make a complaint. You won't know until you do it.
You know, I could have made one. But now, I'm talking about this was years ago. Really, I wasn't studying it. It was just a traffic ticket. I wasn't really studying at the time. In fact, he sent most people home because it was the middle of summer. It was hot as hell. Most of the folks in the courtroom had on shorts. And he chastised a person who came up to the podium and said, "What do you got on?" And they said, "Excuse me." He said, "Look," he said, "anybody that got on short pants or whatever, you need to go ahead and reschedule me to see you, see the court clerk." Said, "This is not a gymnasium or a basketball court. When you come to court, you come to court dressed appropriately." Yes, he said that. I remember that. And this is the judge, middle of summer. He going to tell you how to dress coming into the courtroom, which, by the way, everybody was dressed appropriately for the weather and the day. He wants you to have on slacks or a dress or something. In fact, his name was Judge Schaefer. I'll never forget his last name. But these are the type of people who take advantage of power. And it's everywhere. I'm sure he's not the only one who fires up a cigarette in the courtroom. But the thing is that it's sad that I would think that, in fact, here's a bailiff who's sworn the oath, just like the judges and everybody else who works in the court system are sworn the oath, but they don't call it out because they're afraid to. They're the lower ones on the totem pole. But it happens in your city somewhere or your county or your state every day. But what Thomas is doing, it's just, I mean, what did they say, just flat out? He just flat out accepted over $500,000 in 2 decades now. 20 years he's been getting these gifts. That is well over $50. My question is anybody going to pursue anything to recommend him for such a, you know, for such a thing? I doubt it. Truly doubt it. And everybody's going to keep turning a blind eye. Our judicial system is broken because of that. I truly believe it is. Everybody wants to turn a blind eye and feel like somebody else is above the law. No one is supposed to be considered above the law. Nobody. But it seems like some folks feel like you can bend the rules to the point that if you bend it enough, it's going to break. So it doesn't become where you just bent the rule, you broke the law. And then everybody's going to feel like they can do the same thing. The next politician will do the next thing. Well, so-and-so did it, I can do it. So where does that leave us, the everyday Joe? It leaves us subject to being mistreated in a court of law, more so than we are already. But even, you know, that makes no sense. And I just turn that back around again to when we were talking earlier in the show about Donald Trump being indicted. He's not convicted. He's indicted. They're going by the rule of law. You got to go through the process. And I wish people who saying, you know, oh, he going to prison, he going to jail. Don't jump to conclusions yet. It's a long road before that happens, at least in this case. He's just been indicted. When I see somebody convicted, that's when I'll believe the law really works, regardless of your so-called wealth and fame.
Well, people have been trying to get the law to work, but you got the far right trying to tear the law down. You know, you don't miss your water till the well runs dry. You know, we are supposed to be a democracy, and people would rather have an autocracy so they can pick and choose who they want to control. You know, it's not right. It's not right. You know, I just hope we can hold on to the democracy and make it stronger.
Well, I mean, I totally agree with you. But unfortunately, in this society, it's not working. It's not working. It's falling apart. That's true. Very much so. It's just like what's that earlier, what Timon said. He said he's more against the corporations. And I agree with him. The ones that come in and try to negotiate and everything with the corporations, and, you know, they try to get things, they speak on behalf of the corporations, I should say, to the lawmakers to favor what they want to do.
Okay? Lobbyists, are you talking about
exactly,
lobbyists?
Exactly. That's what I was trying to say, yeah. The lobbyists. These are the middlemen and women who are trying to work in favor of the major companies. And as you remember, when we had Mr. Robert Taylor on, what was happening down in Louisiana, I'm sure there was plenty of lobbyists for those individuals that represent the senators and everything to allow these companies to pour all this stuff into the water and stuff into the air, because they don't live there. They don't care. And I'm sure they get kicked back to vote in favor of certain things. But it's easy to do. You know, they say, out of sight, out of mind. These folks don't live down there. They don't go down there. So they're like, okay, yeah, I'll vote in favor of that, of what the corporation wants. So I agree with Timon, unfortunately. In my opinion, the government is run by a corporation. It's win-win deal.
Well, Michael, so you know that Leonard Leo, the one that got the Supreme Court to overturn the Roe versus Wade, all that, you know, and he picked the judges like Amy Comey Barrett and Kavanaugh and all them. He was the one that got the list together for Trump to have them, you know, be appointed. Well, he's behind, you know, the Supreme Court Justice Thomas goes on these trips, Leo is right there, Leonard Leo. You know, they're sitting back planning all the stuff that they want to have done, and he's helping them. Far as I'm concerned.
Well, and keep in mind,
they're paying him.
And you
paying him.
And you know,
here
in Georgia, there was a whole thing just recently about some politicians here that were taking trips on taxpayers' money. You saw that recently, and now they're not going to be charged for any wrongdoing, but they're saying, "Oh well, they're going to change all that, make it, you know, illegal to do so." It should have been illegal in the beginning, okay? You don't go and go on a junket and spend the taxpayers' money. Some people can't even take a Greyhound to the next state, but you're going to take planes and ships and everything on the taxpayers' money, and you're making a hell of a lot more than, you know, Billy Bob that down the street, but you're taking his little bit of money that he makes, that he pays for your position, and go have a time of your life with friends and family members and coworkers. That's unethical. That's sad. And it's just disrespectful to your constituents more so. Let's move forward to this other topic because
ProPublica, ReProPublica, our listeners, they can go and pull up about Clarence Thomas going on the lavish trips and read the whole article and then form your opinion.
Okay.
I'd just like to say that.
I sure will. And everybody else that's listening, check it out. This is your Supreme Court justice the first black Supreme Court justice, by the way, served for this country. I want to move on to the next topic, which is two Tennessee lawmakers expelled state house over gun control protests. This is interesting. This just came about this week, and let me see if I can get more information to come up. Okay, so two Tennessee lawmakers expelled from state house over gun control protests. Tennessee Republican lawmakers on Thursday expelled two Tennessee House Democrats who had taken part in a protest on the House floor demanding gun legislation in the wake of the Nashville school shooting, which left six people dead. A vote to expel a third lawmaker failed, Mark Stressman reported. I'm trying to see where the rest of the story is. Okay, here it is, I think. It's acting up. It's acting up on the story.
Sometimes you can pick New York Times or Washington Post, and they want you to pay.
Yeah, that's what it's trying to do. But I'm putting this on my phone line. Let me see if I can pull it up on my laptop here real quick. But what's interesting about that is that where it was actually three they had an issue with, okay? But only two were expelled. So let me see if I can type in Tennessee lawmakers.
Yeah, they let the white lady that was the lawmaker, she escaped by one vote. So she didn't get expelled.
Okay, let me see. Tennessee lawmakers expelled. Okay, let me see if I can pull this one up. This should show the whole story. This comes from CBS News. Okay.
That's the one I gave you from CBS News.
Well, it's not pulling up on my phone. Okay, so controversy has surrounded the vote by Tennessee lawmakers. Let me close this screen. To expel two members from the state legislature after they and a third member, all Democrats, took part in a protest against gun violence from the floor of the chamber. The vote failed on Thursday, April 6th, and something just popped up, okay, resulted in Justin Jones and Justin Pearson being expelled from the Tennessee State House of Representatives, while Gloria Johnson kept her seat by one vote. Keep in mind, Gloria is white, okay? Vice President Kamala Harris headed to Nashville to meet with them on Friday, and President Biden spoke with the three via conference call and invited them to visit the White House. Here's what to know about the Tennessee Three, the events that led up to Thursday's vote, and what happens next. What led to the expulsion of these two Tennessee lawmakers? On March 30th, hundreds of protesters gathered at Tennessee's state capitol in Nashville calling for tighter gun control laws after three 9-year-olds and three adults were killed in a shooting at the Covenant School, a private grade school in the city. It was the first day that the state's legislature had taken up bills since the shooting. Let's see, it goes on to say, protesters lined the hallways before entering the galleries of the House and Senate chambers, chanting and shouting. On the House floor, the three representatives brought proceedings to a halt. Jones and Pearson led chants through a bullhorn as legislators instituted a recess. Video filmed by a Republican on the House floor during the event, also a violation of the legislators' rules, Democrats contended on Thursday, showed the three speaking on the floor as demonstrators could be heard in the background. Republicans, who hold a large majority of seats, immediately pledged a rapid response. Johnson and Jones were stripped of committee assignments. Pearson was newly elected and had yet to receive any committee assignments. Motions to expel three from the legislature were introduced by three different Tennessee Republicans on April 3rd, according to the trio of disorderly behavior. It breaks down who was Justice Jones, this, that, and the other. But I want to scroll down here and see. They give you a layout of each individual. Arnold Hudson says, why is the expulsion so unusual? The forced expulsion of lawmakers from any state legislative body in the United States is a rare event. It goes on to say, in Tennessee, just eight lawmakers have been expelled from the House in the past. Six of those were Confederates who were expelled in the 19th century for refusing to affirm the citizenship of formerly enslaved black people in the 20th century. A legislator was expelled after being convicted of bribery, and in 2016, a member was expelled for sexual misconduct. Before his vote, Jones listed other lawmakers who have acted unprofessionally or been investigated for misconduct, but not been expelled from the legislature, calling the votes an extreme measure that is, and quote, attempt to silence and undo the will of over 200,000 Tennesseans represented by the trio. This is interesting because, I mean, if you look at what I read just a moment ago, the few times it's happened for some real serious crimes, right? Would you agree? Real serious crimes. I mean, when you're talking about Confederates who were expelled in the 19th century for refusing to affirm the citizenship of formerly enslaved black people, you don't want to allow them to have citizenship. And they're formerly enslaved. In the 20th century, a legislator was expelled after being convicted of bribery. Another one expelled for sexual misconduct. These guys,
right,
or these two guys, and also the woman who managed to keep her seat, were speaking on behalf of the people over murder.
The people elected them to be there, right?
Yeah, I think that's a, and many folks would be like, "Oh, why you want to make it a racial issue?" Well, I didn't make it a racial issue. They did when they expelled the two black men, but kept the white woman on. People
and they said a couple of weeks. They said a couple of weeks prior to that, one of the lawmakers wanted to bring the lynching law back so they can lynch people. What is that telling you? And then the way they treated the two young black men that were lawmakers, like calling them boys and, you know, you know, we're not in the 19th century or, you know, we're in the 21st century. And they are equal lawmakers just like they are. They might not have as much experience, but they are lawmakers. They were voted in.
Now, from my understanding that where they can always come back and run for office again, is that correct?
They said they can come back. Well, they're trying to make them not come back till 2025. But they said they're going to try and get them back in. People are working on getting them in sooner because they were voted in by their districts.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But they were trying to say
what I find disturbing is that they were speaking on behalf of the people. In fact, if I'm correct, one of the persons who was there that I think one of the guys gave a hug was the mother of one of the victims. Am I right? One of the children who was shot and killed?
Yeah.
Now, that's bad. That's really bad. You know, and regarding that shooting, I don't understand the thought process process of people why they would want to kill a child. But, you know, I think this group of individuals, again, went too far to expel these gentlemen, especially during a sensitive time, because this is so recent. You know what I mean? So they should have.
And the Democrats is just a small portion as far as that whole state house. You know, the Democrats is just a small portion, and so the little portion that they do have, the other people in the lawmakers are trying to even take away their funding that's in their districts. You know how you jerry rig stuff. You know, I mean, politics need to be more serious. Like maybe it wasn't always, have never been. I don't know, but I know that when you're representing the people of the United States that's in your district, then you are for the people, not for yourself, your self-interest.
Well, Janet, you and I both know that. Everybody knows that. But here's the thing that is where, but that's not what people in power think. Once you get some power, I mean, even not just on my job now, but on many jobs or many things I've done, there's some people who get some sort of power and they change.
And you know what? Just like in the biblical days when God struck them down because of the stuff that they were doing, he can strike them down again. So they have to be careful. Keep on doing what you're doing.
But the thing is that where, when you said what you just said, yes, you're right. You're supposed to do for the people. But once people realize, you know, the control and the power and the and everything that they have once they get into position, totally change. And there's no turning back for them. And they're introduced to other people that are in higher power. And what they do, they teach them, those folks teach them how to become even more ruthless of their power, more controlling, and it just becomes a cancer, you know, and that's the problem. But here's the thing. We are the ones who put them there, right? We vote
and just like
for
you
them.
Put them there, they're not like Supreme Court justices where they have a term for a lifetime appointment. So just like
right.
you put them in, you can vote them out.
But the thing
you
is,
have
what's
somebody
so crazy,
that screw up and not do what you're supposed
Janet,
to do,
you, know what?
You can vote them out.
But Janet, you know what's so crazy? Even though you can vote them out, even though they can commit a crime, people will vote them right back in. That's the craziness of what's happening to this country.
Because a lot of people get disenfranchised and stay home, but you need to get out and vote. People don't realize, like you saw before, the midterm elections is just as important as the main.
Janet, hold tight a minute. Hold on. Just let me finish for a minute, then you can elaborate, please. You can vote a person out, but unfortunately, we are in a society where people are like, you know what? No, I'm going to vote for him again. Even though they know they've done criminal stuff, but he's been a good president. He's been a good governor. He's been this, that, and the other. And there's a list of not just white, it's black folks who have committed crimes in office, and people have voted them back in the office. That's what we do.
But
now.
Michael, just said, it's because people get disenfranchised and don't get out there and vote. Every vote makes a difference. So you don't want somebody in, you have to work together to get that person out. You can't just have a select few putting that person back in, knowing that that person is not going to do it.
I think it's more than that. I think it's more than disenfranchisement.
No.
Okay. Slow down, please. It's more than disenfranchised. I believe it's a part of that. But it's more than disenfranchised. I think it's due to the fact of brainwashing the people who put you back in. There's people who go out there and vote, right? there are some folks who go out there and vote, right? And they'll still vote for the person that probably isn't the right person for the job. But they believe that, well, what they said about that person must be true. And unfortunately, our political arenas have become more of a battle of trashing each other instead of speaking on what they're going to do for the people. In the last, I don't know how many years, every time I hear a candidate going up against another one, they're not telling you what they're going to change or do, more so than bashing the other opponent.
That's not true because the Democrats have put things in place to say what their voice is. You keep interrupting me.
You keep interrupting me.
I said what I've seen.
Okay, so let me express how I see it. That's what I just said in the last two years. Okay, but you didn't let me finish what I was saying. I always said, let me finish, and then I'll let you elaborate or say what you have to say. That's what I've seen is what I'm saying. What I've seen, most of the campaigns have always been negative campaigns against the opponent, not so much about the issues. That's how I feel, okay? That's what I believe is what becomes the major topic of most campaigns now. It's not about what they're going to change for the community or for the people. Let's say an incumbent or a new person is going against the incumbent's going to say, you know, he did this, he did that, blah, 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 blah. You need to get him out of there. I've never said, hey, look, if I'm elected, you're so-and-so, I'll work on getting this problem done, that problem done, this problem done. It's basically all bashing now. That's what I see now. That's what I see. I'm not speaking for anybody else. I'm just speaking for myself.
So who did you see doing the bashing? You saying both sides, Michael, or are you saying just the far right? Because that's who's been doing all the bashing. That's who got the...
I've seen them both. I've seen them both do it. Janet, you're asking me a question. I'm answering you. I've seen them both do it because sometimes some will sit up and take the bait, meaning if it is a far right, the Democrat will say, I know my opponent is saying this, that, and the other, but he fails to tell you about when he did this and this, that, and the other. That's what I see a lot of. I do not hear much about what they're going to do for the people in most cases. And I'm not saying just here in Georgia. I'm not limited to just where I sit. I'm just saying overall, when I see, because, you know, I mean, I look at elections in local, city, county, state. I even look at elections that go on out west and everything from my hometown and everything. And there's a lot of bashing. One will probably start it first. The other one will try to elaborate on it or defend themselves about what the other one is talking about. I'm just saying I very seldom hear about the issues that the people are dealing with. I very seldom hear that. Every now and then.
Well, because I look at the news 24/7. I look at the news 24/7. And I do see what is going on. And I know that when you don't have a plan or let people know exactly what you're doing, then you got other opponents instead of them saying what they're going to do. Like the Republicans who just took over, what are they doing? What did they say they were going to do? What did they do the last time they were in the House? Not a darn thing.
Okay, and that's why it goes back. And that's why it goes back to what said is that where.
But a lot of bills got passed when the Democrats had the House, but they went into a dead pile because McConnell, the Grim Reaper, was just getting justices through and not looking at what needed to be done for the people.
Okay.
His main goal
I'm gonna move forward because we only have 17 minutes because there's one more topic we're gonna get to because it's been stated that we don't get to all the topics. So we're going to get to this one here because it's pretty interesting, you guys. This is one where the state had to return $40,000 that the police took from a man at the airport. Here's part of the story. And this is Charlotte, North Carolina. A Charlotte trucking company owner has his money back after it was taken from him while at the airport in Arizona more than 2 years ago. Well, keep in mind, he was in Arizona, right? According to the Institute for Justice, a nonprofit public interest law firm, Jerry Johnson had $39,500 snatched from him by authorities at baggage claim when he was at the Phoenix airport in August of 2020. Johnson said he flew to Phoenix with the goal of purchasing a tractor trailer for his trucking company with the cash. However, at baggage claim, he was questioned by police and his money was seized and subject to civil forfeiture. An Arizona trial court ruled that he failed to prove the cash was his and, therefore, he could not contest the civil forfeiture of his money. The Institute for Justice reports it took over Johnson's case on appeal, and in May of 2022, the Arizona Court of Appeals held that the lower court's ruling violated his right to due process. Johnson's case was ultimately successfully appealed. Jerry's case potentially illustrates the injustice of civil forfeiture even when someone ultimately gets their property back, said IJ's senior attorney, Dan Alvin. Quote, it took 31 months for Jerry to finally get his savings back while scraping together money to hire an attorney. Johnson said he is grateful to have his money back at the end of the day. It's a blessing to finally have my savings back so that I can invest it in to my business. That the government could take my money, never charge me with a crime, but hold on to my savings for so long is outrageous. I don't know how many people knew that that exists, but it does exist that people do get their money taken. And they haven't committed a crime. There are many states, many jurisdictions who do this on the regular. You could go to Vegas and hit the jackpot and have the money in your car and cross over into, well, they just said Arizona. Arizona's right next door to Nevada, pretty much, not far. And they can assume that you're going to use that money for unlawful whatever and take it from you, can't get it back. How did this happen? Or where did this come from? When did this start? This is the first time. Well, this isn't the first time I've heard of this. I've seen stories about this before, but I wonder how many folks knew that this happens quite a bit from state to state. So now you can't carry a certain amount of cash on you. Otherwise, you're subject to, what do they call it?
Forfeiture. But you know what, Michael? If I was to carry that much cash, I would make sure I had receipts showing where I got it from, because they can't, you know, it's like your word against theirs. And he was just lucky that the state is even paying him interest on the money that they took.
But my question is this: where in the law does it state you can only carry so much cash on your personal? Where anywhere in the law says you cannot carry, that I can't carry more than $500,000, even if it was I don't know what the limit they look at, but where's the law that says I can't carry that much money? And how come you can assume?
I guess everything's different, but I sent you an article on the state's stats does this. Because people need to be aware.
Well, that's why I want to bring this up.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a listing, you guys. It says, these states let police take and keep your stuff even if you haven't committed a crime. And let me run this down real quick before we run out of time. Let's see. Does your state require a criminal conviction for police to take and keep your property? Okay, so let me scroll down. These states fully allow what's known as civil forfeiture. Police officers can seize someone's property without proving the person was guilty of a crime. They just need probable cause to believe the assets are being used as part of criminal activity, typically drug trafficking. Police can then absorb the value of this property, be it cash, cars, guns, or something else, as profit, either through state programs or under a federal program known as equitable sharing, which lets local and state police get up to 80% of the value of what they seize as money for their departments. So police not only can seize people's property without proving involvement in a crime, but they have a financial incentive to do so. It's the latter that state restrictions on civil forfeiture attempt to limit. Police should still be able to seize property as evidence. But the restrictions in some states, such as California and New Mexico, make it so they can't keep that property without a criminal conviction under many circumstances under state law, and therefore they won't be able to take people's property as easily for personal profit. Let me see our final listing. I know we're running out of time here. I'm scrolling down. Let's see.
You got
I'm scrolling down. Okay, I thought they had like a. Oh, they got a map. They got like a map thing here. We're going to have to touch on this again next week because there's more to this here. They say, for example, New Mexico, North Carolina, court must convict the suspect of a crime, but. We're going to come back to this because I really want to go back into this and really get a listing of the story because it's really interesting. It's really it's sad, for one, that they can do this. I see a hand that's waving. Let me go ahead and open up. We got just a few more minutes left before we leave the show. 323-763. Your mic is open. We just got a few minutes left. Who's calling?
Well, if you only got a few minutes, then I'll come back another time, man. Right. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, I didn't know who that was, but thanks for calling. I could extend it for another 15 minutes, but I'd like for us to really spend more time on that topic. We ran through so many today, and we still didn't get to the last one. But, next week we're going to get back on that topic and go over it because, to me, that's ridiculous that they can take your money like that. And you may not get it all back. They can take 80%, they said. Oh, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. It's where I saw this program where this guy, he went through the same thing. And the officer asked him about, you know, his money and everything. And just like this gentleman, he was crossing state line to make a purchase. But just the assumption, it's like you're a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you agree? It's like they're looking at you as a criminal, like, man, you're going to buy a truck, huh? Yeah, right, buddy. Well, we're going to take 80% of it. And, you won't be getting that truck today. And that could be a big deal for that person, for their business. And just by not being able to purchase that truck, he might
or
go.
Or even a person's life savings, you know.
Correct.
That's why I say you need to have proof, you know. So we're going to talk about it next week, and that's a good thing because it's important to.
Yeah, we're going to keep giving it in the first part of the hour. We'll definitely actually pick up where we left off, or better yet, start again, because it's something that people don't know. Like I said again, he's at the airport. Let's say, for instance, you know, you fly in from Vegas. And in fact, that was the one I saw, where a guy won a bunch of money in Vegas. And same situation. He got it all in cash. And they're taking his money. Vegas is going to write you a check. You know, I mean, people normally cash out at Vegas. What, they're going to write you a check?
I don't know. I would sure get some large bills. I wouldn't get a lot of small bills, I know that.
Does Vegas have Cash App? Because Cash App needs my money. Put it on my Cash App or whatever. No, I ain't walking out of here with a dollar at all. I'm just going to, you know, put it on my credit card or whatever.
They might have Cash App that can take tax out. Or
yeah,
give you a tax form. Yeah.
Whatever they got to do. All right, you guys, we're going to get on out of here. Hey, happy Saturday. Hope that you have a fantastic week. And by the way, if you celebrate Easter, happy Easter to you tomorrow. Be safe. Hope you have fun with friends and the kids. And if you do that, no, you're probably not doing Easter egg hunt because eggs are too damn hot. So whatever you're hunting for, enjoy the hunt. We'll see you next Saturday. Thanks again to Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis, Diamond Ship, and the rest who listened in this evening. We really do appreciate you. See you next Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, here on TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show. Good night. Mm-hmm.